Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Rolene Marks, good afternoon to you. You're going to put me out of my conundrum and explain why I am perplexed.
Well, tell me why you're perplexed. Sit down on my sofa and let's discuss.
Free of
why
charge.
You are
this
so
is what I like.
Listen, I didn't say it was free of charge. I just said sit down on my sofa.
True enough. True enough. Okay, so why am I perplexed is because there was a vote in the UN to formally adopt or commemorate whatever they did about the Durban conference. That initial commemoration of that event was boycotted by 30-odd countries, which was very positive to see. And yet many of them voted last week in favor of the or adopting the Durban resolution again. Why?
Okay, so this is rather confusing. And here we have to thank the envoy from the United Kingdom, Simon Manley, to the UNHRC, because he actually demanded a roll call to stop the consensus from going through. But the vote was 32-10 in favor of a resolution that was seen as pro-Durban, that supported another one of these horrendous conferences. And he said that as long as these conferences exist in their current iteration, which is to single out and attack Israel, which is to descend into anti-Semitic chaos, his country will not participate. So thank you to the United Kingdom for setting the standard. And thank you to countries like Germany, the Czech Republic, the United States for standing by, Austria for standing by their initial refusal to participate in Durban. You know, we can't forget that even though the Durban 4 conference that literally became a damp squib just last month, that 20 years ago, this conference was held in Durban, South Africa, something that South Africa sees as a point of pride and literally became the propagator of the worst anti-Semitic rhetoric that we had seen since World War II. And the legacy of the last 20 years has been this horrendous rise in anti-Semitism around the world and, of course, thrust the BDS, the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions Movement, onto the global stage and into the global consciousness. And this is what we are seeing today, the ramifications of that with the horrendous narratives that were adopted at the time.
And the problem is they set the tone and therefore allow an Irish authoress like Sally Rooney to say, I won't allow my book to be published in Hebrew and translated into Hebrew. Problem.
Well, I don't know, Simon, because, you know, her books are still published in Farsi, which is the national language of Iran, and Chinese. I'm confused because she has singled out the State of Israel. Now, this is Sally Rooney. She's a best-selling Irish author. In fact, her book, Normal People, became a hit TV show. I'm just confused because obviously she didn't get the memo about the Uyghur, the million Uyghur Muslims rounded up into concentration camps and ethnic cleansing going on there, or the horrendous human rights violations by Iran, including the hanging of people of the LGBTQI community, including as young as 14, on cranes. I don't know. To me, there's a stench of hypocrisy, but hey, I could be wrong. You know, the Irish, the great bastions of tolerance. And this comes just a week after journalist David Collier published a damning report on anti-Semitism in Ireland. I'm very curious, and I pose this question to some of my friends in Ireland. Is she prepared to even engage on issues and find out why we are saying that this is hypocritical and anti-Semitic? And the reason why we say this is anti-Semitic is that according to the IRA definition of anti-Semitism, the minute you single out Israel for opprobrium and condemnation, and you're not talking about policies, you are talking about Israel as a country, Hebrew as the language, the ancient language of the Jewish people, then we have a serious problem. And of course, she is citing in her statement that she released just a couple of hours ago, Beit Selem, and Beit Selem, we know, earn their keep by selling as many damning videos as they possibly can. She trots out BDS. She supports the BDS movement. But I would pose this question to her, dear Sally, if you are listening to Chai FM, we know you boycott Jews, but on the offshoot that you are listening to Chai FM, do you have any comments on the genocidal charter of Hamas? I don't know, Simon. Maybe I'm just extra spiky today. I don't know.
No, I think we needed to hear that. Thank you for a very cogent argument. It's just interesting. It comes a day after Ben and Jerry's, where again, you know, they didn't know what to say about the state Texas that just stopped abortion in every possible way imaginable, also against their principles, but they didn't do anything there. Anyway, let's move on because this is a really important issue of Microsoft, not Israeli government or US, Microsoft saying that Iran hacked US and Israel defense sites.
Well, this is an interesting story that broke last night. Microsoft saying that they have intelligence that the Iranians had cyber hacked U.S. and Israeli defense sites. And I find it interesting, like you do as well, that it comes from Microsoft and not from, say, our cybersecurity buffs. But, yes, this is something that, you know, that you and I have been speaking about quite a bit is the escalations taking place between Iran, the United States and the state of Israel, and that are we seeing something that's moving closer to some kind of conflagration? Last week you mentioned the ship that was intercepted. Strangely enough, that didn't get the traction that we thought it would get here in the news, kind of hush-hushed very, very quickly. But this latest coming from Microsoft saying that, you know, there is hacking afoot, that, you know, they're trying to attack not just Israel, but they are trying to attack the United States as well on different platforms and pushing closer and closer to some kind of conflagration.
Next really fascinating story we're going to talk about this afternoon is Yuli Edelstein to challenge Netanyahu for Likud leadership. It had to happen. Somebody had to do it. Is Edelstein the right guy? Does he stand a chance?
Well, you know what? This is Yuli Edelstein. This is somebody who commands a tremendous amount of respect and affection here in Israel, former health minister, but also former Speaker of the Knesset, and somebody who shares a history with Natan Sharansky, also a Soviet dissident, a prisoner of consciousness who was locked up for being a Zionist, for being a Jew, a man who's seen as extremely noble, a man that's seen as many that if the Likud is to turn around their recent streaks of bad luck at the polls in winning an election for the Likud, it could be Yuli Edelstein. So fascinating to watch this. We don't know that any primaries have been scheduled. There's no primaries for Likud mentioned as yet. But also Gideon Sa'ar, a Likud defector, the former of the New Hope Party, has said that if it's a Yuli Edelstein, he's prepared to talk to the Likud. So watch the space, Simon. It's about to get interesting.
Had to happen. Had to happen, Rolene. And Sylvan Adams, I think he's Canadian, multimillionaire. What's he up to now?
Well, I love the story. And could we see the soccer/football World Cup? And I say that because, you know, we have listeners on both sides of the Atlantic, so whatever you call it, soccer or football. But Sylvan Adams, Canadian philanthropist, very famous for bringing the Giro d'Italia to Israel a few years ago, the famous cycle race, also Madonna to Eurovision. We won't hold that against him, Simon. We'll forgive him for that tremendous faux pas.
She was
bad. Stay away from the fillers, Madonna. They're affecting your brain just a tad. Anywho, he announced today, addressing the Jerusalem Post conference, that he and regional allies, and by that he means people from Bahrain, from Morocco, from the United Arab Emirates, signatories to the Abraham Accords, are going to put their bid in to host the 2030 Soccer World Cup. Could you imagine how amazing would that be? That would score a significant goal for peace But this sentiment echoed yesterday by the president of FIFA, Gianni Infantino, who is in Israel on his first official visit, saying that the signing of the Abraham Accords could lead to Israel co-hosting a World Cup. So come on, guys, bring it home to Israel. How amazing would that be?
That would be absolutely amazing. Ro, we're out of time. Maybe tomorrow you can tell me whether you are in fact really going to be able to have a pizza delivered or sushi via a drone, because I find that like really science fiction coming to life. But let's chat about that tomorrow.
That's a date.